Hello, and welcome to the Vlogging Pod. Tonight, we are joined by Indy Sparks. Welcome to the room, Indy. How are you today?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you. Your name is so interesting.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Definitely a pen name, but I do like it.
Yeah, I do too, because I was like, Indy, that is a cool name. You know what? First of all, what I think about is Indy from Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that series. So as we're talking about you, now I did read you come from the coast, right? What parts of the coast would that be?
The Texas coast. We do have one.
People don't always okay.
think of it, but we do. I actually grew up very near Galveston.
Galveston. Okay. And you're at where now?
I am in Central Texas now, just outside of Austin.
Okay. So what made you decide to move off of the coast?
My husband and I lived in Southern California for a year. We came back and we were in the Houston area for several years. And then his job actually brought us to Central Texas.
Oh, okay. Southern California. Is that like a sticker shock from going there to Texas?
It really wasn't.
No.
I kind of knew sticker shock it would be that way, but it was several years ago, so it wasn't that bad. We were young and struggling anyway. Everything was going to be a sticker shock to us at that point. So that didn't matter so much. I really enjoyed my time there. We had a good time.
Nice. So, rom-coms.
Yeah.
You do love those, right?
I do. That's my sweet spot.
Your sweet spot. Now, do you traditionally just write rom-coms or do you write more all around? Do you write, you know what I'm saying, more romance, action?
I do pretty much write primarily rom-coms now. I did not start out writing romance at all. Excuse me, I'm battling a head cold, so forgive me.
No, I understand.
Actually, in writing for young adults and children, I did that for a number of years and then decided I wanted to branch into adult. I started doing some short story writing. And then I just thought, what do I really want to write? I want to try my hand at indie publishing, self-publishing. So what mm-hmm. would I do if I wanted to do that and publish my own stuff? Thought, you know, I think I want to try some romance, but I'm not really sure what. I knew it wasn't going to be historical romance for me. And I finally just hit on, I'm like, the thing you sit down and watch more than anything else on TV shows or movies is rom-com. So maybe that's where it's at for you. And some stories started to click and I started writing and realized pretty quickly that, yes, this was it. This is where I wanted to be.
Nice. So you did try other genres before you eventually settled on rom-com?
I started when it was romance, it was like rom-com from the beginning. Pretty much. Mm. I do have some small town. I have a small town story that still has the witty banner, but it's got a little more angst. It's more of a grief processing theme running through it. So it's not totally rom-com, but even that one still has all the witty banner between the love interest.
Oh, nice. Now you did a little bit of, was it YA or basically children's books?
I did some YA. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And did you self-publish those or were those under a publishing?
No, I mostly published short stories in that realm. I didn't self-publish anything there.
That's interesting. I think a lot of times, and you let me know if you agree or you don't, but when I first started writing, it was only short stories. And at that time, you know, I did a lot with my nieces and nephews and wrote a lot of short stories around their age brackets. And of course, my draw was always to write, even when I was in school. And it was something I just enjoyed doing. But I always drifted more toward the short stories. And because I never thought, I can't commit to a whole book. You know, I'm like, I can't do that. Right. So did you find yourself how you dived further and further into it? Was it sort of like that? Did you have a progression on how you drifted more toward longer books and such?
I kind of waxed and waned. I started with novels and was just having a hard time getting like the whole grasp on the whole thing and pulling it all together. Even though I knew in my head, I knew theoretically how it was supposed to work. Then I wrote some short stories and I think it helped my novel writing. It helped me. I think you can learn so much about pacing from writing short stories.
Right. Now, how many years have you been doing writing? I mean, how many years as an author?
Oh gosh, a couple of decades.
Oh, wow. A
Yeah.
couple of decades. I don't know. I'd have to figure it up here. I've been writing since, well, you know what I mean, publishing. I don't know if you could actually say writing, but publishing since 2010. So
That's a good while.
a little bit, yeah. I would say several. You know, it's off and on. I think writing has to do with the passion, with the incentive, when you feel it, you know?
Absolutely. I agree.
Right. So let's talk Ivydale, the novella series.
Okay.
There's four books releasing this year, am I correct?
Yes, they will be out by the end of June.
Okay. Yeah, I have that down actually. Don't make it too close because I have a question based on just
Okay.
that. Okay, so tell me about how this series started.
I wanted to do a little bit more of a small town. Like I said, I had written the one that had more angst, the grief processing, and I really enjoyed that, which felt strange to me because I grew up in a small town and couldn't wait to leave. But then, ironically, ended up raising my kids in a fairly small town as well. So I thought, well, I kind of can't get away from the small town thing. Maybe I want to write about it. And I enjoy reading books set there. So I thought, okay, fine. And they make a great backdrop for a rom-com. So I started playing around with what would I want to write, though. I knew it had to be something with the witty banter, and I always come back to like the Gilmore Girls type banter. And I thought, what about a Stars Hollow set somewhere in Texas? Where would it be outrageous for that to be? And I thought, well, it would have to be like deep, remote, middle of nowhere, West Texas. How would that even be there? My brain just started spinning, and I do my own covers. So I sat up one night and just started playing around with covers, like title ideas and characters. And the next thing I knew, it was 2 o'clock in the morning and I had four covers. And I thought, well, okay, that's a lot. I guess I'm doing this. That's just kind of where it spun from.
That's interesting. Now, when you talk about doing your own cover work, let me tell you how mine started. Then you can tell me how yours evolved into doing your cover work. When I first started my very first book, it was only a 15,000 word book. It was a very short story, but it went on to other stories based off of it for a whole series. But when I first started, like I said, 15,000 words, I paid for an editor. I paid for cover work. So basically, I ended up putting 5 to 10 grand in this one little book.
Ooh, it
And I,
so fast.
yes. And I don't think people understand. And also, you know, and I paid for an editor as well. So you go through this whole thing and you realize, okay, I'm only going to make 33 cents for every 99 cents I sell. Okay. How am I going to do this? I mean, the first time my husband was all on board until we got the end price and we were like, holy freaking what? You know, and I realized pretty quickly that I had to learn to do it myself. And it was a hit and miss for a little while. I think I'm better at the cover work now than I was when I started out. And I've tried to re-update, you know, how you always get those. You have the surplus of those books you bought to sell for events that are the old covers that you sell cheaper or you give them away. So when you started, did you start on the same premise? Did you have cover work people doing it, or did you always have that? Are you one of those lucky people that just had that knowledge and you went with the cover work yourself, or was it a progression of learning and error, you know?
I started out, so like we had the lockdown from COVID. And I had to keep myself busy. And I thought, you know, I've always been intrigued by graphic design. I don't have any training. I wonder, everybody talks about how easy it is to learn Book Brush and Canva. I could learn that. Surely these other people have learned it. So I just dove in and started trying to teach myself. And it was such a learning curve. And I mean, like you said, yeah, you do get better as you go because your skills, they like layer and build on each other. Once you learn something, you're like, okay, well, now I know how to do that. I paid for a couple of covers, but I mean, like you were saying, it just adds up so fast. And I thought, this is not sustainable. I cannot keep doing this. I'm going to have to do it myself. Initially, I thought I would just do my own graphics for promotion. But then I thought, well, maybe I could do my own covers too. And I started. And the early ones were terrible. So terrible. I've definitely redone some.
I feel you. I know what you're saying. I giggled a little bit, but we talked about me not giggling over you because of the editing afterwards. But yeah, I giggled when you said that you were terrible because I am so there with you. And when I went back and I'm like, what the beep beep was I thinking on this cover?
But you know, in the end, kudos to you for doing it because how else would you have learned?
Yeah, I agree. I think on my end, and I do use Canva as well, I had all the expensive programs for overlapping and taking down the resolution so that you could have it like see through. You know what I'm talking about. But now, because of the programs are so much better now, I have a membership for Canva. I think a lot of authors do anymore that have any sense of doing the graphics or even the ad work for themselves. I think Canva, I think they should sign me up and put me as a kickback for some of their stuff because I talk about them all the time. They are great. They help you. They have all the setups for Instagram, Facebook. They even have for ebook covers. I kind of wish they'd do it, make a template for Audible books because that's a whole different measurement. If you don't look at those, be consistent, guys. Look at your measurements.
Right, right. I think BookBrush does, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think I've used BookBrush. Like I said, I used to do it my own self, and it was a lot of work as far as layering and having to, you know, because you couldn't set it. If you did it too quick and you screwed up a layer, then you'd have to start from scratch and go all the way back in.
Oh, that makes me shudder.
Yes, yes. But I did a magazine way back. And I think we had over 300 authors and we used to get like 5,000 hits, but everybody had it on their site. It was done through HTML content and you just copied and pasted the script. And then when it was in your webpage through the back end of your website, it would just turn the pages and you'd see it like a magazine. It was really cool. And then they have services now that do that for you now. So that's how old school I am, but I'm old over here. So let's not talk about, you know, my age, but I'm back in the old school days where you had to know the code to do it. But because of that, I think I learned a little bit of graphics and was able to, you know what I mean, learn and grow. And then someone's always putting out something different. So when you see that, you're like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. I wonder if I could do something similar. And I think that's how you learn and grow. But even a writer, the more you read, I think, you know what I mean, perfects your craft. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, totally. Reading definitely feeds into your writing. And also, I think all writing informs other writing, too. Like I said,
right.
Writing the short stories made me a better novel writer. So,
yeah, my last person that I had on the show, she actually, that's how she started. And she still does it. She says she bases it on short stories and then continually does that. And I thought, you know what? That's such a great idea. And then she'll take the short stories and put them in books and have like that. And I thought that was such, she writes horror though, but it was, I loved the interview. Shannon Lawrence is what it was. And I was really taken back by that because when I first started out, I felt horrible for just doing novellas. Do you personally feel pressure for your word count when you start writing? Because since you are do novellas as well, do you feel pressure to hit a certain word count when you're writing?
Yeah, I think I do. And I did a little bit in Kindlevella for a while where you could mm-hmm. short episodes. And then I would take those and condense them into novellas. Yeah, I mean, there was this big push like, no, you have to do novels and you have to do a series. And I never thought I would write a series ever. I'm not even a big series reader. So I just thought that's not for me. But then I did. I ended up writing one rom-com and I love the supporting characters so much, the best friend especially. And I thought she could have her own story. She could support a book. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I'm not a long series writer, but maybe a duology. Maybe that works for me. And it did. Mm-hmm. So I put out the first one and then I did another one. I wrote another novel and I'm like, yeah, this could be a duology too. I could definitely use this setting and spin one off. And so that worked too. So when I got to these novellas for Ivydale, I thought, okay, I'm going to do four with all the same people. Okay, here we go. Let's see how this works. And I am so grateful at the great reception it has gotten so far. I'm so glad people see the method in my madness, or even if they don't, they're at least embracing it.
Nice. That's really great. It's interesting that you mentioned Vella. I did paperback and I also did Kindle. But since Vella, I'm going to be honest with you, I've decided to only publish in Vella and go right from Vella to Audible because I have the sound booth and the studio to do it now. And basically, I think the holdup for me personally, was and like we just talked about, having to do all of it myself, doing I mean, I do reach out for a little bit of editing service, but outside of that, I'm trying to do, the cover work, the formatting, and just trying to get everything done. And that's just on this kind of work front. That doesn't even include what goes on in your personal life. And I was failing to get everything done to the point where I just now finished a book that I started writing in 2015, and I just finished it. And I had it in 2015. And now I'm on another book that I started in 2018. I published the other one and I went into this way. I found that Vella has made it easier for me. Now, I know there's a lot of critics that are against the whole Vella setup, but I loved it only because the simple fact is it gives me more of an instant publication. It can involve you to be connected to the readers more so because they can even comment at you can open the comments to it. And if you're writing it per chapter, you know what I mean? They could have a say maybe over if you wanted to open it up that way. I have not done that. I like the fact that it's there. I haven't done it, but I'm just saying I like that it's there.
I love that it's there. In fact, the reason I kind of stopped writing in Vella is because they hadn't brought it out yet. And they were going to bring comments in. It was going to come. It was going to come. And it hadn't. So then I just sort of shifted over to doing novellas and novels for KDP. But now I'm seriously, was just talking to a friend at lunch the other day about how I'm thinking about going back to Vella and also my novels and my novellas. But I kind of miss Vella. I had fun with it. And I love that you can put like the comments out to the reader questions. And I just think it was fun. I think it's super interesting that you're doing solely Vella to Audible, never not working, So you have to kind of find your streamline.
You do it, and it just depends on, excuse me, well, let me open this door a little bit. It's gonna creak. There we go. I think it depends on your support group. If you are someone that works closely connected with a publishing company, or you have someone who does your editing, or you have someone who does your cover work, I think you're able to do that more. But since I handle everything myself, I mean, I just now gave the reins up to Laura as far as the podcast. She does all the booking now. She handles the website and putting stuff. I was doing all of that myself. And doing that in combination with other aspects of what I do, because I'm trying to open myself up more for the voice talent and stuff like that, I was finding that I was getting overwhelmed, and trying. And so because of that, I wasn't getting anything done because I felt like, you know what I'm saying? Just because I had this big long list and I'm like, oh, how am I going to get this done? And then my father got sick and then my father's passing, my mother moving. I just felt completely overwhelmed. So I realized pretty quick, and it was because of this podcast that I actually got introduced to Vella. And another person had come on and she was doing her work. Amazon actually approached her to do Vella's. So I thought that was like, wow, you know what I mean? I was like, they actually came to you. And when she started, I thought it was like, wow. And since then, she has passed away, but she was one of the first people on my podcast, the very first. And it was just awesome to be able to have that time with her and opened me up. But I think that's another thing too, is that when you talk with other authors, and where I'm leading to this is long-winded lead up. What have you learned from the community itself when you relate to other authors? What thing has impacted you the most in your writing career in communication with other authors?
Oh my gosh, so much. Mainly the promotion. When I first started doing this, I'm not going to do much on Facebook. I don't really love Facebook anymore. I'm just not going to. And I have people say, no, you really need to be on Facebook and you need these Facebook parties and interact with your readers. And I thought, I just don't see that working. And yeah, they were totally right. Absolutely. It has been the best thing. The reader groups on Facebook, I've loved it. And I don't know that I would have any books selling, really, if I wasn't out there doing that and promoting and learning from other authors. I wouldn't have known about Ingram Spark and how to get my book there. I wouldn't have known what the differences were. I mean, I would have on the surface known the difference between being in Kindle Unlimited exclusively versus being wide, but other authors are so generous in sharing all the nuances and the steps and what the differences really are and what this means versus that. So it's amazing. It's like going to a workshop every time you log on and interact with other writers.
Right. You make an interesting point. See, I always thought the Facebook groups were a little more outdated now. Do you find that some of that stuff has lacked? I mean, that it's not as helpful as it once was?
See, I don't know, because writing as Indie Sparks has only been for a few years for me. Mm-hmm. So I haven't seen that. Now, plenty of people who came on much earlier, like in the mid-2000s, I'm sure, or have seen some of it. But like I said, I came on skeptical to begin with, thinking there's no way that matters. There's no way that really has an impact, or you really need to be on Facebook. And because for my personal Facebook account, I had pretty much abandoned it. I was over it and with it. And I thought, oh, you got to be kidding me. I'm supposed to go back to Facebook to do this. But I don't regret it. I'm actually glad for the push to go back to it.
Right. I think there's a lot of, because they talk about algorithms and everything like that. I find that the biggest thing about it is a lot of people don't read the taglines. It's usually pictures with the imagery on it or the commentary on it, or you're talking while you do the video. Do you find that you have a niche for yourself when it comes to ad work on your work?
Now, I will say I do prefer Instagram. Mm-hmm. The very reason that it is visual, and I'm so visual, I like scrolling. You can get the quick quote from the book and the short text. I do really like that.
Nice. Because I, like I said, I follow some influencers, and one of them is Chaylene, and she used to do fitness way back in the day. I used to follow her. On Beachbody and all that stuff. That was a decade ago. I think they're still around. Now that dates me really bad right there, but it was interesting. She talked about that. Even it's a whole different venue what she does, but she talked about that as well, is laying your content over your video so that there's readable font there, because a lot of people don't stop to read that. I'm really bad at that too. If I'm in the car or being transported from one place to the next, I scroll, and you're probably got your earbuds in, so you're listening more for the content for verbal than you are probably reading. I don't know about you, but I get car sick if I read. So a lot said to me in my earbuds is grateful. Right. So May and June brings us Pissed Off Ivy Dow, and Bitch Please, It's Ivy Dow. What comes after this series? Do you have things other planned, or is it going to be more from Ivy Dow? I know you mentioned you had the covers, but is it going to be more of Ivy Dow, or is this set in stone that this is the end of the series after these last two?
This is set in stone for now, of course. I think it's going to wrap up with just these four. I may come back and do like a holiday novella that revisits them. I think that's always fun. But after this, I have a novel in the fall that will be a brother's best friend romance novel. So I'll be back
nice.
Novel after this.
Nice.
That one turns into a duology or not, we'll see. But I'm anticipating right now that brother's best friend story will be a standalone book.
Nice. So what is, before I head into the Amazon ad, I want to ask you one more question. So what is it that you would like listeners to take away from this interview about you tonight? I mean, in case there's something I didn't hit on, this is your chance. Let's hear it.
Gosh, I don't know. I'll be put on the spot. Talk about it. I don't know. Maybe just like, you know, take a chance on indie authors. And I know that the bias has faded. It's not as strong as it once was, where people thought that meant a less than book. But I do think there's still a little bit of that lingering. And there is so much professional content being put out there from independent authors. So yeah, maybe just take a chance.
Take a chance. I agree with that. I totally agree with that. So guys, we've reached that time in the show. I've gotten a lot of comments on this. And as you know, I always try to pick things that I have purchased. Obviously, I purchase a lot of crap, but I like to share my inputs on this stuff. Now, today, I like a TV in every room. But I also like to keep what I regularly watch. I do a lot of Amazon Fire TV and Amazon Fire Stick, tablets, you name it. So today, Amazon deal of the day, and this is phenomenal because I think they're ranging anywhere from $30 to $40 anymore. It depends. So this one is an Amazon Fire Stick Lite free. It's got live TV, Alexa voice, remote lights, smart home controls, HD streaming. This is a 33% off, leading us at $19.99 off its list price of $29.99. Again, there's their 30. The link's going to be in the bio, guys. This is today's deal, so it may change by tomorrow. So if you see it, grab it. And if you like it, let me know. I want to thank you so much, Indy, for being on the program tonight. I really, truly enjoyed you being here.
Thank you. It was great to talk to you.
Well, it's wonderful having you here. You're welcome to come back to us anytime. I'd love to talk with you further. Thank you so much to our listeners. As always, bye-bye. Until next time.